Paul Schrader's 1985 film Mishima, A Life in Four Chapters, stars the late Ken Ogata as the world-famous Japanese writer and political activist who committed ritual seppuku at the age of 45. It's considered by many to be the filmmaker's finest work, and it will be shown in a new enhanced version at Film Forum on West Houston Street starting tomorrow for 1 week. Adam Resurrected, Mr. Schrader's latest film, is currently on view at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street, and I'm very pleased that both of them have brought Paul Schrader back to the show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Actually, I believe there's a three-day hiatus in the middle of that Film Forum one-week show, so it actually sort of feels like 10 days.
A hiatus because they're going to do some holiday stuff?
Yeah.
Your brother Leonard and his wife Chieko collaborated with you on the screenplay for Mishima. Wasn't Leonard, who passed away a few years ago, a Japanese film scholar?
Well, sort of. He ended up as a missionary in Japan in order to avoid the Vietnam War, whereupon he lost his faith and lost his wife and became a film nut.
And was he the one who got you started thinking about making a film about Yuko Mishima?
Yes, I had heard about Mishima on the news, of course, but I'd heard a lot more from him. And
you hadn't read him at that point?
No, I hadn't. And I had been, you know, Taxi Driver, the first script I wrote, was a sort of film about suicidal Gloria. And I'd been thinking about maybe doing another film like that. And I'd written a script on Hank Williams, and that didn't get made because of the rights. And then I started thinking about Mishima. I said, well, you know, if you want to make another film on this subject, why don't you go all the way to the other end of the bookcase? Go to the Orient, go to someone who is successful, someone who was homosexual, who was intellectual, and yet was in the grips of the same pathology. And so that's how the idea sort of gestated in my mind, and it grew from there, and to encompass this one kind of pathology, East and West.
Although, as I understand it, because he was homosexual and because he committed suicide the way he did, it actually became more difficult to get the film done and to get it released in Japan.
Well, it's never been shown in Japan.
Even though it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. No, I mean, Japan is a consensus culture. And no matter how many times you say that, you don't say it enough. And there is no unified position on Japan, and therefore he is a kind of, on Mishima, and therefore he is a sort of non-subject. We had...
But it's really his widow who has fought against it being shown. Well, she doesn't want people to know that her husband was gay, even though everybody who's ever read about him or read him would know?
She was a professional keeper of the flame, and she's dead now. And she was offended by the homosexuality. And so she went to the Old Boys Network, which is the right wing. And in Japan, the right wing is sort of the main building.
And Mishima was a member of the right wing. He killed himself in a right wing protest.
Yeah. And so the idea that an American, a representative of the MacArthur Constitution, which the right wing militated against, should make a film about their hero was enough to get the right wing going. And in fact, when I say this about a consensus culture, what I mean is I think the Japanese were sort of relieved when this film didn't get shown because there was no official opinion about him. And the Japanese are very uncomfortable about subjects that there is no consensus about.
Now, as I understand it, the film was actually written in Japanese, wasn't it, by your brother and his wife?
Well, it is, it is a Japanese language film.
How difficult is it to direct a film in a language that you don't speak?
Well, I had sort of two co-directors. One was my best friend, Alan Poole, whose Japanese is meticulous, and then Chieko. And Alan handled the crew, and Chieko handled the cast, and we just went back and forth. I had originally studied Japanese, but once I started work, I realized that too much of my brain was going into the process of finding the Japanese words, and so I just stopped.
Well, how far can you go with this? Your latest film, Adam Resurrected, is based on a novel by the Israeli writer Yoram Kanyuk. You could have done that in Hebrew. I understand you're planning on making a Bollywood film next. Are you going to do that one in Hindi?
The reason the film was made in Japanese was we had a very large cast, and very few Japanese have acceptable English. Virtually none. English is very hard for them. There was no way we could get that cast in English. So that settled that. Whereas Adam Resurrected, we needed an American star, and therefore it had to be in English. This one I've just done a rough draft now on in Mumbai, it'll be about half and half. If that goes forward, as we hope, it would be half Hindi and half English.
The new version of Mishima includes a narration by Ken Ogata in Japanese. If I remember correctly, the original version had an English narration by Roy Scheider.
That's correct. I was worried when this film shown at Cannes that there would just be too many subtitles. And so I did the same thing they did with Bresson's film, Diary of a Country Priest, which is where they put the narration in English and the subtitles on the French language dialogue. So I did that same thing with the original release. But when Criterion came to redo the film, and we made other changes as well, we thought, well, why not do it with the real voice now? You know,
had Ken Ogata already recorded it at the same time that Roy Scheider did?
Yeah, it had been sitting in the vaults all those years. The Japanese distributor was supposed to create the Japanese version. But since the film was never distributed in Japan, there was never a Japanese distributor, and therefore there was never a Japanese version.
You also said that the film has been changed a bit. There's a restored scene?
We did some sky replacement that we could now do with today's technology that I couldn't do back then. And there was a little scene with Chishu Ryo, who is Ozu's stalwart actor. And I was in love with Chishu Ryo. And I convinced him to do this tiny little scene. And then, lo and behold, I cut the scene out. All these decades, I would say, why did you cut that scene out? And so we were able to put it back in.
The first film you wrote, also with Leonard, was The Yakuza. So obviously Japanese culture has fascinated you, or at least your brother has made you fall in love with Japan.
Well, it just sort of shows you the things out of which a life is made. When my brother went to the church board, because he didn't want to go to Vietnam, so he volunteered to be a missionary. And the church had two openings, one in Tehran and one in Kyoto. They flipped a coin. One boy went to Tehran, the other boy went to Kyoto. And out of such things, a life is made.
Now, Mishima is a portrait of a troubled person, a phrase that can be used to describe so many of your protagonists, like Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, which you wrote the screenplay for, Bob Crane in Autofocus, which you directed, Adam in Adam Resurrected. What is it about these characters that fascinates you?
Well, I mean, for me, contradiction is the heart and soul of character. You know, I loved her so much I hit her. You know, that's character. I loved her so much I hit her again. Now, that's real character. So I always sort of like people who are saying one thing and doing the other. And
celebrities tend to do that more than other people, don't they? You've done a number of films about celebrities.
Well,
not that Travis Bickle was a celebrity.
Yeah. I think we all do it. I think people who act out in public tend to do it more, and in fact, we sort of get paid for it. It's part of the stock and trade of entertainment.
Mishima had a very restricted childhood. He lived with his ailing grandmother. Was that something you related to because you grew up in a rather restrictive household?
Not so much, because the culture is just so different. What I did relate to was this kind of over-intellectualization of the physical. And coming from a Calvinist background, you have a sort of very similar thing where you just basically think too much about, you know, things that should be natural and animalistic.
The reason I ask is a lot has been made of your background, the fact that you didn't discover film until you were in college. And we talked about it the last time you were here. I don't want to go over that same stuff again and again. But I wonder how much one's background affects what projects you choose to do. I mean, when we read a novel, We often look for little autobiographical connections. Should we do that when we look at a filmmaker's work as well?
Well, you can try to avoid it, but sooner or later, it's going to come through. You know, the computer gets programmed fairly early. You know, Freud said it was by the time you're 7, but even if it's by the time you're 12 or 14, you know, that software is put in. And basically you're stuck replaying it all your life. And so, you know, no matter how far you run or how fast you run, you just do not outrun your childhood.
My guest is Paul Schrader, who has 2 films in New York right now, or 1 opening actually tomorrow, Mishima, Life in 4 Chapters, being reissued in a new enhanced version at Film Forum. And then there's Adam Resurrected, which opened a week ago, and that's currently on view at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street.
Adam is just playing for 1 week, and then it will have a more proper release next March.
Oh, so this is a pre-Academy Award release? We're seeing more and more of that these days. Somebody in the Times, I think it was, suggested that, was it the New Yorker who suggested that for 3/4 of the year we see movies about people who fly and do magical things, and then for the last 3 months of the year we see depressing films about people who are really troubled. Those are the films that they want to be considered for the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but that seems to be the system.
In this case, Jeff Goldblum plays a Holocaust survivor in a mental institution in Israel. How did you discover that novel by Yoram Kanyuk?
The producer was an Israeli. This had been his life's passion, and he had developed the script. And it was a very bold script, a very unlike anything I'd ever seen. And he was looking for a director who wasn't afraid to do something that was, say, you know, not by conventional rules. And apparently my name came up, and he sent it to me.
Well, you didn't write the screenplay, even though you've written most of your screenplays. This one is by Noah Stolman. Do you enjoy alternating between writing the screenplay, writing and directing a film, and just directing someone else's script?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth. I've done maybe 6 or 7 films that others have written. This year I wrote a script that I sold that I don't know who's going to direct it. We're rewriting it now. And now, subsequently, I wrote another script that I'm going to try to direct.
You've worked with Martin Scorsese on several projects over the years. Did you feel you had a shared sensibility?
Well, we did. And in many ways, we are quite similar. About the same age, the same physical type, both asthmatics, both intellectuals, both film buffs. Only he was Catholic and urban and Italian, and I was rural and Dutch and Protestant. So there was just enough difference, you know, to sort of make it an interesting collaboration.
And Jeff Goldblum's character, Adam Stein, is none of those things. He's a German cabaret star who survives a concentration camp by literally becoming the pet of the camp commander, who's played by Willem Dafoe. Is this the first time? I know you've worked with Willem Dafoe before, but have you ever worked with Jeff Goldblum
before? No, it's the first time I worked with Jeff. And in fact, when I first read the script, I hadn't even finished the script. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a role that Jeff Goldblum was born to play.
And it's being called the performance of his career.
Well, it certainly is. He spent his whole career preparing to play this role, I believe.
Is there a comfort level in working with an actor you've worked with before? Or is there an excitement about working with somebody you've never worked before but have some kind of preconceived notions about?
Well, both. But the greatest comfort level is when both you and the actor know that you're doing good work and that the actor is well cast and you should be doing what you're doing. No matter how friendly you are with an actor, if he feels he hasn't been properly cast and he shouldn't be doing this, it's going to end up very badly.
Because, in fact, I was just reading about Mickey Rourke. Darren Aronofsky said that the problem with him as an actor is you got to get him started. Once you get him started, everything's okay. So you got to get the actor on board. And then if you've done that, then it becomes a lot easier. How do you convince an actor that this is a role that, because in this case, this was a really complicated part for Jeff Goldblum.
Oh yeah, well he jumped for it. I mean he knew what it was and he wanted it badly. You know, Anthony Perkins once told me that he thought acting was 70% casting. Well, I think it's about 90% casting. You get the right person at the right time of their life, and then you just sort of stand back and watch and offer advice from time to time.
Well, how did that work with the casting of Mishima? Ken Ogata is an American Japanese. Would it have been possible to get a Japanese actor to play the part, no, considering all of the problems?
Ogata was Japanese.
Well, he was.
Absolutely. He did not speak English.
Oh.
And in fact, we had originally intended for Takakura Ken to play that role. And Ken-san was the biggest Yakuza star in Japan. But the right-wing leaned on Ken and told him he couldn't do it, and he had to back out. And Ogata was quite famous at that time for being a bit of a rebel. He had been in the Narayama and Revenge, and he had a reputation for doing things that other people wouldn't do. And so we went to him, and he knew the enormous pressure not to be in this American film. But he said, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway. And it was his commitment and his courage that allowed a lot of the other Japanese actors to do the film.
What about the locations there? There's the final sequence takes place at a Japanese army headquarters, and it does look like it's the real thing.
It's an identical building up in Kyushu in the northern part. And we shot it over a holiday without permission. The real Ichigaya, of course, we did some stolen footage of. But we found this building. And basically money changed hands, and we shot it over the Chrysanthemum Festival without even having official permission.
Have you done that sort of thing in the past? Only when you're forced to?
Only when you're forced to. I mean, this film had, you know, the most extraordinary financial journey. You know, it was essentially financed by no one, and yet it got made.
Well, it was. It really had an incredible group of people. It was Warner Brothers. The executive producers, at least listed, are Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas.
Yeah,
that's not nobody.
No, I mean the way it got financed was I don't know if we have time, but we had raised half the money in Japan. And Warner Brothers, we needed a U.S. partner. And Terry Simmel was head of Warner Brothers, and George Lucas, we went to George and said, can you help us out? And George went to Terry and said, would you do this for me? And Terry said, if we do this for you, George, will you call that a favor? And George said, yes. And they said, okay, we'll do it. It was done as a favor for Warner Brothers to get back into George's good graces. That was all.
And then you were nominated for Palme d'Or. That must have helped.
Well, we got the special prize there, but you know, basically, once the film was finished, Warner's obligation was over, and so that they were not interested in the film after its release, and it never had a Japanese release. So in some ways, it's always kind of drifted under the radar.
Well, you'll have a chance to see it once again because this portrait of the novelist, poet, actor, playwright, and bodybuilder, Yukio Mishima, will be shown at the Film Forum from Wednesday, December 17th through Tuesday, December 23rd in a brand new 35mm print with some footage added. Also, that's at the Film Forum on West Houston Street and at the Quad Cinema through this week, you say? Mm-hmm. You can see Adam Resurrected with Jeff Goldblum and any number of other wonderful actors. And my great thanks to Paul Schrader for having been our guest today. By the way, we're going to go out with some of the music from Mishima, which was composed by Philip Glass.
Thank you, Leonard.